Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Another dumpster, another fire, another political week in review. So welcome to the podcast, y'all.
It is a little hot, and I don't mean to set it. Although you are a good-looking guy. I'll never get that confused.
I'm coming up hot, huh? All right. Do I sound better now?
A little hot.
Oh, wow.
Must be the new spray tan you're using.
Yeah, that's possible. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve as we work out some of our little kinks. This is all about live broadcasting here on the Really American platform. We welcome you to the show, right?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome. And you can chat along.
Nobody's forcing you to be here, but we're glad you are here. It's just after 3:30 on the West Coast of America. Just after 6:30 on the East Coast, and it's sometime tomorrow in Australia, which means the world is not going to end today, Nick, because it's already tomorrow in Australia.
Oh, I've never thought about it that way, dude. Mm-hmm. That is so true, right?
I think so. So there you go. And we do have a lot of international watchers. I don't totally understand why. Although, actually, I think I have a theory. It's like when you're going down the road and you see a car on fire. You want to slow down and watch. So I'm pretty sure that's why Australia and England and Scotland and all of our international friends stop by this channel.
Completely. Yeah, that's why they're here. And I've been seeing it expand lately. I was going over some of the list with my wife last week, and she was like, I cannot believe that all those people are listening from all over the world. I was like, look, we've had worldwide listeners on this podcast for a long time. But since That's we've true. Signed up with the Really American Media platform, I've seen some that we didn't see before. So I love seeing people from all over the world, and I'm glad they're here to join us.
It's true. It's so funny, you know, as you know, on our actual podcast app page or whatever, like the audio version that you can find on Spotify and Google Play, whatever else, like it shows us where people are watching or listening to us around the world. And there's always one dot in Moscow. Just nowhere else in Russia, but just Moscow. There's somebody listening to us there. And I don't know if that's a compliment or something we should be very nervous about.
I don't know. It's always been a little, I don't know if I should say worrisome, but yeah, it stopped. It's given us pause at the very least, because we wonder, who are you and why are you listening to the program?
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of people listening and watching us all over the world, can we start off the show with a retraction, an apology, a mea culpa? Yeah.
That's something we do here. You know what? We're not, as much as Steve likes to think we are perfect people, we're not, dude. I mean, we make mistakes every now and again. So when we do, we'll talk about it, we'll bring it up, and we'll let you hand out some lashes. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't think we do this very often. I mean, no. I think we try pretty damn hard. And the fact that I even want to talk about this should be a testament to the fact that at least I give a shit. You know, at least I care if I got something wrong. And
totally.
Yeah, this week I think I had, no, I don't think. I know I had the biggest embarrassment of my professional career of almost 30 years on the radio and into the interwebs now.
Really? This is number one?
Yeah. My therapist asked me the other day, because this came up in therapy. She was like, listen, this Mark Ruffalo thing, 5 years from now, are you even going to remember this? And I said, yep, I am. Unless I do something even dumber in the next 5 years, this will go down in harness infamy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I've been working on this thing called the time machine theory, and it's just basically like where you take a moment in time and think, will this matter in 1 month? Will it matter in a year? And then you can gauge how upset you should be by it. So gauging on that, you should be really upset by this, Steve.
I am upset by it. And I've often wondered, just a quick aside here, if you ever were time traveling and you woke up right now, how could you know what year it is? This is something I've wondered my whole life. Like, if I just woke up right now, like, how would I identify what year I'm at? You know, look at your surroundings, look how you look. These are what I think about in my free time.
I just look at a license plate. You know, there's places where you can find me here pretty quickly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. Anyways, let's address this and then move on. I did a story this week on Really American, and I was excited. Mark Ruffalo, he's an Avenger, and I'm a big Marvels fan. Like, he's the Incredible Hulk. And he was calling on all of us to assemble. And if you know anything about the Avengers, that's the big, you know, Avengers assemble. So yeah. I embraced this story wholeheartedly. I'm like, all these Marvel references I can make. And Mark Ruffalo got really angry at one point. I'm like, oh, do you want to like me when I'm angry? Like all these Hulk jokes. So, but I had this idea. He was talking about the next No Kings protest. So I thought, not only can I play his interview, because he was on the No Kings YouTube. They did some live broadcast to promote the next protest. And so, yeah, I was pulling clips from the interview, and I thought, I am going to repeat the date of the next No Kings protest repeatedly throughout this 10-minute thing. Like, I'm not just going to mention it once or twice. I'm going to make it a recurring joke slash theme, and each time I put, like, more October 19th on the screen, 19th. And by the end of it, I literally had a swirl of October 19th going on.
Okay.
And Mark Ruffalo said it was on October 19th. The article I got that from said it was on October 19th. The problem is it's on October 18th.
You got the date wrong because you believed in the Avenger, Mark Ruffalo.
Yes. What's the irony there? I got screwed over by an Avenger. Yeah. I would expect this from the DC Universe, Batman or Superman, but the Marvel Universe screwed me over. Right as I was defending not canceling Disney Plus, I get screwed over by Avengers.
Yeah, well, maybe that's something to think about, dude. Maybe you shouldn't have gone that way. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Yeah, obviously this is, you know what, I saw, you said, I'm not going to even look at the comments because I don't even want to know. I will commit some sort of suicide. I looked at the comments to ease your worry.
Yeah, I've been asking everyone in my world not to tell me what the comments say, yet everyone feels the need to tell me. So what's your take on it?
There was only one bad thing that I saw. All the rest of the people that watching that video, I feel like we're your friends, and they've come to trust you, you know, like as someone who delivers news. And, you know, there were just some gentle, like, hey, it's actually on the 18th, you know. There was only one thing that I saw, and it wasn't even that bad. It was like, is this guy trying to make us miss the No Kings protest? And, like, obviously, you know, he's never watched you before, if that's what he thought, because you wouldn't do that. So, yeah, it wasn't that bad, dude. Let it go.
All right. Somebody tracked me down on my personal Facebook page to tell me, hey, Steve, you got that wrong. And I was like, I didn't get it wrong. And I'm like, oh, my God. So it was an innocent mistake. I did technically have two sources. Mark Ruffalo, like, who fact checks the guy promoting the event in an interview? But like I said, the article I got it from. So I do apologize. October 18th, everybody, is the next No Kings protest. It's a Saturday, and we should all definitely turn out just because things are going off the rails in this country. So we do need to show up. So
for sure. Yeah. And the last No Kings protest, I mean, it was a huge accomplishment. This one, I think, will be even bigger and better. So, but don't get lax on it. We got to make sure it's bigger and better, right? Because, we speak louder in volumes, obviously. So, I mean, take a little time out of your day. If you really give a shit and, like, you watch the channel, you watch the videos, you know, if you really care, like, take a couple, I mean, maybe even take an hour out of your day to go down to the No Kings protest and make your voice heard, be seen.
And the cool thing about these No Kings protests, they're everywhere. It's not like you have to travel to some distant city. Or, like, they're happening everywhere. Even if like, I'm in a small town. Last time there was, like, 30 of us. But that's a lot for a little town. So show up and support it. So Saturday, October 18th.
Are you sure?
Let's move on and never address this again.
Okay. All right. We can do that. Should we get into some news? That's why we're here, ladies and gents. This is a political week in review.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Oh, look at that, dude. Hey, thanks for chatting in the chat rooms and chatting along. Oh, it disappeared. But someone from New Zealand's listening along.
It's tomorrow there. She's saying it's, you know, they're still there tomorrow. So.
Oh, everything's okay. Okay, right. Perfect.
Well, all right. What do you got? Feel free to go first.
Hey, dude, let's talk about this because last week when we left the podcast off, everything was spinning out of control. Jimmy Kimmel had been taken off the air. And
Are we better this week?
Yeah, I think, well, we are. I mean, you got to look at small victories, dude. Mm-hmm. So let's get into some of them. Jimmy Kimmel, it was announced that he would be returning to the air on September 23rd. And when I say returning to the air, that's in most markets. Sinclair and what's the other?
Nextstar.
Yeah, they decided that, they still weren't going to put him on in some of their ABC affiliate markets. So I think he was down about 25%. But as Jimmy Kimmel pops back on the air, it was nice to see him. And let's watch a little video now to see what went down.
Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, telling an American company we can do this the easy way or the hard way, and that these companies can find ways to change conduct and take action on Kimmel, or there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead. In addition to being a direct violation of the First Amendment, is not a particularly intelligent threat to make in public. Ted Cruz said he sounded like a mafioso. Although, I don't know, if you want to hear a mob boss make a threat like that, you have to hide a microphone in a deli and park outside in a van with a tape recorder all night long. This genius said it on a podcast. Brendan Carr is the most embarrassing Carr Republicans have embraced since this one.
And fearless.
That's saying something. The FCC has a tradition of meddling where they shouldn't under many administrations, but it wasn't always like this. There was an FCC commissioner back in 2022 who worked under Joe Biden who was spot on. He wrote, President Biden is right. Political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into the discussion. That's why people in influential positions have always targeted it for censorship. You know who wrote that?
No.
FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr.
Hypocrisy coming from Mega World? What?
No. We've never seen anything like that before, dude. I love how fearlessly Jimmy Kimmel is coming back on the air because that's a big deal, dude. You did wonder when he was let back onto the air. Was he going to censor himself? Was he going to bring himself down? Would there be people he didn't talk about? And so far, I mean, I feel like he's going just as hard, if not harder.
For sure. And in a lot of ways, Trump made the whole situation worse because it puts such a spotlight on not only their attacks on the First Amendment and free speech, but Jimmy Kimmel specifically. I mean, he came back to something like quadruple his biggest ratings ever, which, sure, they're probably going to come down a notch. But still, Trump had put out one of his little truth tweets that night about, you know, low ratings, Jimmy Kimmel is an embarrassment and all that. And then, yeah, so then that encourages everyone to go watch Jimmy Kimmel.
Which, yes.
You know, it brings me back to something you and I were debating this week of, you know, I said earlier I was hesitant to cancel my Disney Plus because I wanted to be part of the protest, but I love my Marvel stuff and I didn't want to lose it, quite frankly. And then within 24 hours, he's back, which means all of us have to then go back and resubscribe to Disney Plus because then we got to swing the pendulum the other way. We got to show that we're supporting him. So if you canceled it, you now need to renew it. I just skipped ahead and just kept it, and then I didn't have to renew it.
That's a great excuse, dude. I did cancel mine, and I don't know that I'll be renewing it. Not right now.
But you have to stick it to Trump.
I don't know.
This is the problem. No, if you don't renew it, then Trump wins. And I'm not just trying to get you to renew. Because that shows that the damage he did is sustained. We in order to stick it to Trump, Kimmel's ratings need to be at where they were or better, and we can't screw over Disney. This is the real problem with protesting with your pocketbook. Because one week you cancel it, the next week you don't.
Yeah, but I can watch it on broadcast TV where it should be watched, you know.
That's the other problem. Jimmy Kimmel was never on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Well, Disney had a lot to do with it. And here's the deal I'll make with you. I'm going to re-up Hulu is what I canceled and Disney Plus. I'll re-up it, but I'm going to punish for at least a month. You're going to lose my money. I want to punish Disney for what they did. And then maybe I'll re-up it. But
you see the conundrum, right? I mean, look at Quesadilla here. Hell nah, man. Don't renew. How can we not renew? If we took it away because they took Kimmel away, they put Kimmel back. Don't we have to now show them support for their decision?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I think it's part of that FAFO thing. They effed around and they found out. Now earn my trust back, dude. Or, you know, do something more than just reinstating them, because you shouldn't have taken them off in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's shooting all of us in the foot. I get that it was the right thing to take it away, but now they did what we want. They put them back. So don't we have to go back to if you had it before, now you have it? And then there's a whole other problem. Like, he works for ABC. I was saying I didn't want to cancel Disney Plus because of my Marvel movies. Well, Disney doesn't make Marvel movies. Marvel Studios makes Marvel movies, who happens to be owned by Disney. You and I have worked at radio stations before that change ownerships. Doesn't change the local station, how it's run. Same with ABC or Marvel Studios. Like, those are independent companies. Yeah, they're owned by Disney. But I don't know where you draw the line. Like the NFL protest you did, canceling your season tickets over the Kaepernick stuff. That was an NFL thing they did. They stuck their own foot in their own mouth, so you stuck it to the NFL.
Yeah.
Who owned the NFL never, you know, like, I mean, it doesn't work that way in the NFL, but you see my point, right?
No, I do see your point. I mean, it is very complicated because there's subsidiaries, there's people all over the place who's affecting who, like, but it's one of the best ways we have learned how to protest is with our pocketbook. And I don't know. I don't know what else you would do. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so Kimmel returns. 6.26 million broadcast viewers for his return episode. It's more than three times his usual audience. Before the suspension, the show was averaging like 1.4 to 1.8. We also saw the social media platforms. His monologue was viewed 26 million times, with 15 million of those on YouTube. So people were interested to see what was going on, and I would imagine from both sides, right? From people who thought, oh, he should have been taken down.
I'm confused by that. So
why?
It's okay to tune in to Jimmy Kimmel and support him by watching his show, but aren't you then supporting ABC and by default supporting Disney? Like, in order to stay consistent with this protest, you shouldn't be watching Kimmel at all.
Yeah,
so I'm not. Everyone go back to Kimmel, but is not renewing Disney Plus. I'm getting chewed alive in the comments. Everyone agrees with you. I'm just saying, does anyone not see how this is a pendulum of weird protest action? If we're going to swing it one way, you got to swing it back the other. If you're going to watch Kimmel, then renew Disney.
Yeah, I don't believe that, dude. Not without any punishment. Like, you got to pay for what you did, you know?
Well, then why'd you watch Kimmel? That's my point.
I'm watching them on broadcast TV. I mean, I'm not paying anything extra for it. So I'm not paying for an app. You know, I'm just watching them on cable.
So if I watch the next Marvel movie through my neighbor's window, is that okay? Because I'm not paying for it.
Sure. Exactly. That's exactly right, dude. There were people on the chat last week during the show when we were talking about this whole thing. They said, you know what? You can still watch your Marvel. Just steal it. You know, so I think you can still watch it, but the we're not giving Disney our dollars right now. Okay. Although Jimmy Kimmel has come on and said, like, the people over at Disney had lovely conversation, blah, blah, blah. So now we're focusing on Sandusky and we're focusing on Nextstar. But let's see what happens here, because it looks like as of now that Sinclair announced they will be resuming airing Jimmy Kimmel Live on its ABC affiliated stations effective tonight. Nextstar, however, has not.
I thought Nextstar did say they were. Is that for sure? But either way, this again is one of these, why are you shooting yourselves in your own foot? I know Sinclair is a conservatively owned company and they wanted to do some protest, but look at the ratings they just missed out on. And by the way, that screws over their advertisers. Because you and I know, years in radio, I owned a radio station for 10 years. Like, you're supposed to do right by your staff, your listeners, and most importantly, perhaps, if you want to keep the lights on, do right by your advertisers. So if Bob's Toyota, you know, dealership is advertising on these Sinclair stations, they just missed out on the quadruple rating experience of the year. So nice job. Way to shoot yourselves in the foot and screw your own advertisers over, especially in Seattle. I can't believe that Como, the station of ABC in Seattle, didn't air that in progressive Seattle.
Yeah, well, it was all through Sinclair, right? The decision to return came after all this public backlash. I don't know. I mean, of course you remember, but Sinclair said initially they want an apology and they want donations made to Turning Point USA. Well, that didn't none of those things happened. And Sinclair has framed its reversal on a decision made independently and not under any government influence, but it came after public backlash, advertiser viewer pressure, and concerns about contract relationships with Disney. They also said some of these markets remain in limbo because some of the renegotiations for re-signing with some of these affiliates is coming back up for Sinclair. So they said, oh, well, we better do this now. So they did it for the almighty dollar, and they got screwed.
And to not get sued for, yeah, contractual obligations and everything else. But here's what I'm talking about. Look at this comment. Roseanne, I appreciate you listening here, but buy the freaking movie, she says. Then you can watch them anytime you want to. Who do you think gets the money when I buy the movie? It's still going.
No, I buy them in Thailand, dude. you know, I buy them off the street. I probably shouldn't do that, but come on, Steve. Get with it here.
Okay.
Hey, listen.
I'm trying to be a good liberal and still be a Marvel fan. You found it funny when I told you it was not realistic for me to not go see the new Marvel movie. And I was not joking. That is not realistic. Lifelong Marvel fan. This is not some casual thing in my world. Something I honor with my kids. We all go. Like, you're telling me, really, because of what Trump did? Maybe I want to be in a communist country if I can't watch my Marvel movies.
It's not so much as what Trump did, but it is losing what we have. Like, if you want to roll towards that Kings, if you want to roll through that Dictators, maybe, you know, they're showing Parvel movies, you know, in this new district you're going to be living in. Who knows?
I see. Oh, hey, dude, look. Crystal here. That's nice.
Hey, Crystal, thanks for listening to the podcast. Oh, love you guys, but Steve is my crush. Ooh, Steven.
I hope Kennedy's not watching.
No, that's dangerous territory. Let me show you a bit of contradiction, because we do like to show that on the podcast. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. If you remember what this whole Kimmel thing was about, he said something so innocuous and was just saying that, you know, oh, MAGA is dead set on making this shooter a liberal, right, is basically what he said. But it was even tamer than the way I just said it. Look at this contradiction.
A lot of people gave him grief for that, saying that you said something inaccurate. Even Adam Carolla, one of his best friends, said, Jimmy said something inaccurate. He said that he was MAGA. No, he said that MAGA was tripping over themselves trying to prove he wasn't. That doesn't mean that he is. He was stating a fact. MAGA was tripping over trying to distance. It doesn't mean that he was MAGA. So I don't actually think Kimmel said something inaccurate.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. Adam Carolla is a douchebag too, by the way, who's been sucked into this whole, you know, MAGA world. But here's a great example of contradiction over this Charlie Kirk comment, okay, from the left and the right.
Do you think Jimmy Kimmel should have lost his job for saying what he did?
I think he should have, yeah, because he said some very rude things about a young man who just died in front of his family.
Somebody was to say something about, let's just say they mock someone else's death. Yeah? Do you think they should lose their job? They should be cancelled?
Yes.
What's interesting is I came across a clip of Charlie Kirk who was mocking the death of Palestinians.
I can assure you Charlie never mocked the death of Palestinians.
Hey, if you as a gay person would go to Gaza, they'd throw you off of tall buildings, right? Now they don't have any tall buildings left, so I don't...
When you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Is that too soon? I'm too sorry. Maybe you shouldn't kill Jews, stupid Muslims.
By the looks of that, it looks like it's on some sort of a a comedy show or something like that.
It's not
that.
A comedy show. It's a it's an interview.
It's an interview.
On stage interview.
Which makes no sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because Kimmel's a comedy show. So if you're going to use that logic, like, it doesn't play. But again, just the complete hypocrisy and contradiction from left to right.
And they all mock George Floyd's death, including Charlie Kirk. And I just keep going back to the principle of, you may think it's tacky if I make fun of somebody's death, which, by the way, I did not make fun of Charlie Kirk's death. But I'm just saying, you may think it's tacky for somebody to do that, but it's their goddamn right in this country. And to lose jobs, and I mean, listen, if your employer doesn't like that and they want to fire you, then that, you know, that's their prerogative. But all this doxing and tracking people down, and someone made an app to report teachers in Florida that were critical of Charlie Kirk, and some people got fired for quoting Charlie Kirk with his thing about the Second Amendment rights or no empathy. Like, the fuck, people? How far are we going to go with this stuff?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really been eye-opening to see exactly what people care about and what they don't, you know. And it is. It's just a living, breathing contradiction. So I'm wishing Kimmel well, but this does not mean it's time to let the guard down, right? Jimmy Kimmel said so himself, like, hey, we got to keep fighting, dude, because they are trying this bullshit. Trump has already said, oh, Fallon's next, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Like, this is not something they're letting up on. This is a victory for us as of now to see Kimmel get back on the air. But the fight's not near over. I mean, it's just getting going.
No, they're not going to stop. I did find it funny to watch all of the mega types, including Brendan Carr. Once they realized that they had screwed up here, that, you know, this really is government censorship, they all started trying to say, oh, this is about his ratings. Like, he got pulled off because of his ratings. I saw some congressman on CNN who all of a sudden is a TV expert about his ratings were down. So they abruptly pulled him off in the middle of a week and just, you know, tried to blame it on politics. Now, first of all, ratings experts out there, it's been the summer. TV ratings always go down in the summer. Kimmel took most of the summer off and either had guest hosts or did reruns or whatever. So you're such an expert on ratings, but you don't know why they went down. It was not because of him. And then, of course, he's back on. So they obviously didn't take him off because of ratings. But now he's pretty much bulletproof. So good luck.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see it all play forward. And you mentioned the Avengers as we walked into this podcast. Well, it seems like all the late night talk show hosts are kind of the new Avengers. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is standing together and they're going to fight this together. So it'll be nice.
Yep. All right. Well, welcome back, Jimmy. Should we go from making fun of deaths, quote unquote, to talking about mega torturing people?
Yeah, we sure can, dude. I mean, that's nothing new. Torturing us for years. Yeah.
So I was asking you earlier if you had heard about this dentist. This is something that happened a couple of years ago, but like so many things now that Trump's back in office, some old clips are resurfacing, and it's kind of blowing up on the interwebs today about this woman that calls herself a mega dentist. Let me see here. Where's her name? Her name is Dr. Harlene Growall. She works at Skyline Smiles in Santa Clarita, California. You haven't heard about this, right?
No.
So in 2021, she did a speech at a Republican event called Republican Liberty Gala. Apparently, it was an all-female Republican event.
Okay.
And this woman on her website, she says that she has built a modern, patient-centered practice where families can receive comprehensive care in a warm and welcoming environment.
Ooh, sounds sexy, dude.
Now, first of all, I'll just tell you one of the clips I don't have. She says she has some sort of Republican wall of fame in the lobby with all prominent local Republicans, and she has a picture of her and Trump, and that people often get repulsed by it and jump up and leave. So, first of all, you don't clearly have a welcoming environment if half your clientele walk in and go, screw this place, and turn around and leave.
Yeah, dude, I'd walk right out. Can you imagine?
Right. So, a couple of clips to play for you. So, she's speaking at this women's Republican thing, and she is attempting to be funny, but I didn't insert any crickets, but you certainly could. So, here's the first clip.
Okay. So, after hearing certain Democrats complain about my prices, I look at them confused and say, how's Bidenomics working for you?
You're all that laughter.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So she said, people complain about the prices. And she says, how's that Bidenomics working for you? So, okay, your first joke's a failure. Let's move on to the second one now.
It was so much better in my office when the Dems stayed home during COVID with their masks on. I wish they still did.
You're all the laughs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and you want to give up half the population. Like, here's the thing, dude. If I'm a dentist, I don't care who you supported in the election. I don't need to, as long as I don't know about it. You know, if there's not the telling signs of you being an asshat, then I, you know, come on in. I'll clean your teeth or pull a tooth, whatever.
Well, and how disturbing is it to hear anyone in any type of medical profession, and I'm being a little generous calling dentists doctors, but they're a type of doctor. So, but for her to be like, oh, wearing masks, you know, you stupid liberals, like that is disturbing enough right there that any medical person would be refuting wearing masks. And a dentist better be a freaking wearing a mask or one of those shield guard things. Like,
of course.
So those are her bomb of jokes. Did not go over well. So now she ramps into what I think she considers her big material. And this is the clip that is getting all the attention. And I don't know, hopefully going to get her put out of business.
So I have a secret hat I use sometimes. It says, make your smile great again. So I wear that when I work on my patients. So when they look horrified or complain, I quietly cut back on the laughing gas and say, you got this. It's not as bad as you think it is. I stole that from Joe Biden.
Wow. Dude, are you sure that she's not mentally stable? I mean, should she be a doctor? Should she have a license? What?
She's a mega, so no, she's not mentally stable. But no, she should probably not be in any sort of position of authority or operating or putting things in people's mouths. So she said, yeah, she has a hat that says something like, make smiles great again. If people wince at it, she knows they're liberals. So she slowly turns down the laughing gas, you know, the pain reliever, and then tells him, oh, it's not so bad. You can do this. She literally is saying that she tortures liberals on purpose just to stick it to them.
Yeah. You may ask me, are you surprised by this, Nick? Well, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised by the fact that any human being would do that after they took a what's their oath they take?
Hippocratic oath. I don't know if dentists Hippocratic take that. Oath. That's a good question, actually.
Well, they got to. I mean, they're working to protect somebody, right, and do what's best for their health. And
I mean, either way, the philosophy should be there, yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, but I don't know that I'm surprised by someone from the MAGA farm thinking this is not only a funny joke, but to actually do it to her patients and then have the gall to have the nerve to sit in a room full of people. I'm assuming those are other dentists and make the joke like, you know, this is something that I do. Yeah, I mean, she's obviously not mentally sane, but it doesn't surprise me. She's MAGA, right?
Yeah. I don't know that it's a room full of dentists. It was a room full of female Republicans, and she was up there speaking in her capacity. But on that topic, she has now been busted on this and called out. She's going crazy on social media, and she is saying it was a joke, people. It was just a joke. Now, even if I take her at her word that it was just a joke, what does that say? That a mega Republican thinks that behind closed doors with other Republicans that I'll get a bunch of laughs if I admit to torturing liberals.
Totally.
So even if it is a joke, what does that say about Republicans and MAGA?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just shows me what I feel is correct. You guys are sick-minded, dude. You guys have fallen into this disease, and you're sick. You have no empathy. You have no care and concern. You know, it's funny to me because you always thought, you know, there used to be a lot of people would say when you were talking to someone that was racist, you would say like, hey, if your son was choking on a subway and was about to die, would you care what color the person was who came up and gave him the Heimlich and saved their life? And like, obviously you wouldn't. But this just goes to show like they do care. they actually care about this stuff. We saw it during COVID, you know, doctors saying, like, you have COVID. I know you're a COVID denier, but you're bad. We can start saving your life. And they're like, I'm willing to die on this hill, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think she's willing to kill her practice, to die on that hill, because she was investigated by some state medical board from California.
Okay.
And apparently they cleared her. And I don't know that I doubt that or disagree with it. I mean, I don't know that she said something there that would be illegal per se, or just a straight up shutdown of her practice. Like if some liberal had filed a grievance saying like she did it to me, maybe that'd be different. But she's saying she was doing it as a joke. But that does not clear her in the court of public opinion, does not clear her in the Google review section, which she is apparently getting review bombed right now. And I feel zero sympathy for her. You know, I mean,
yes.
You brought this on yourself.
Yeah, crank it up on her. She should lose her license. I remember, yes. I remember 10 years ago or so, there was a cosmetic surgery office where these male doctors that did cosmetic surgery were making jokes about, like, when the patients were out, that they would sexually play with the women that were on the table.
Yeah,
and it was just hilarious. It was just jokes, you know. It was just jokes about sexually assaulting people, and they had their licenses revoked over it, and it was just jokes. So I think they should definitely, someone else should look into her.
Yeah. Crystal here is agreeing with you. As a doctor, healthcare provider, they take the do no harm oath.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so telling that Meg is out here right now preaching at all of us. You're the left is the party of violence and murder. And here they are behind closed doors where they don't know they're being videotaped, making jokes about torturing liberals. Isn't this funny, everyone? I mean, yeah. Would you go behind closed doors and make jokes about torturing puppies? No, you would know that that is wrong and not acceptable. But for some reason, in Mega World, it's a joke. It's a laugh fest there to say that we are torturing liberals.
The you know, the Trump derangement syndrome that supposedly you and I have, you know, I think it's completely opposite. I look at all these people who are still in the month of September 2025, refusing to say, like, oh, yeah, he's not our guy. He's not what I thought he was. Like, and can't see the pain that he is inflicting, not only on our country, but the world. You have some sort of derangement syndrome, you know.
Yeah. I prefer to call it TAS, Trump Awareness Syndrome. Like, we've got eyes, people. We're woke. We're awake. We're looking. And yeah, the fact that anyone on that side cannot see the craziness. Although I did a story today for Really American that I'm actually finishing momentarily here, but CNN, Harry Enten came out with some new polling data. And a Democrat just won a special election in Arizona this week. And in the same district that Kamala Harris did well in, she beat Kamala Harris by like 17 points. Way outperformed what Kamala did. And we're seeing that trend in any of these special elections we have had so far in this country. Democrats are outperforming our last year's performance by about 18 points on average. And he said, historically, in a midterm election, if one party is outperforming by double digits, this has apparently happened 5 times. 5 out of those 5 times, that party won the midterm elections. In other words, he's saying the Dems are historically in a position right now where this should be 6 out of 6, that we're in a position to win the midterms next year. Doesn't mean we should all get cocky, complacent, or anything else. But, you know, apparently some people that did vote for Trump have now started to be, whether it's quietly or not, like, yeah, never mind. I'm not going to support that.
Yeah, for sure. No, those are good signs. I hate to even throw out the good signs to the Dems because we do get complacent and we're like, okay, we can breathe now. No, we can't, dude. Our heads are still completely underwater and we're struggling for air, you know. So let's keep it going.
Nope, I agree. But yeah, so there you go. Dentist openly admitting to torturing her patients just because they're liberals. How do you like that?
Yeah, so. Yeah, makes sense, dude. While we're on this medical,
people think that dentists are sadists. Like, way to just confirm that little theory. So,
I love a good dentist, dude. There's nothing like a good dentist. As somebody who has issues with their teeth, like, there's nothing like a good dentist, man. I've had good, I've had bad, and the good are definitely not sadists, so
you just
watch
like
your mouth.
Drilled in the mouth. I know what you're all
about. There is a lot of truth to that. Okay, dude, well, let's stick on this health theme, okay, because a lot of big things came out of the White House this week in regards to your health, your child's health, what you're doing to possibly affect that and I don't know, the numbers I hear are all over the place. Maybe 5 million one people have autism now. So let's talk a little bit about what could be causing that, because if we rewind this shit show of a tape, Trump came out and said, hey, we're going to have the cure to autism, you know, by sometime in September. So I don't know if they have the cure to autism, but he is making a statement along with no one. Let's listen. Hello?
I would have never made a good doctor, okay?
But with Tylenol, don't take it. Don't take it. Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen. Don't let them pump your baby up with the largest pile of stuff you've ever seen in your life. The MMR, I think, should be taken separately. This is based on what I feel, mumps, measles, and the three should be taken separately. Hepatitis B, again, that's sexually transmitted. And we think you should wait. I think you should wait till 12. You know, I'm making these statements from me. I'm not making them from these doctors because when they they talk about, you know, different results, different studies. I talk about a lot of common sense, and they have that too.
I would say it's a lack of common sense. Yes. I am so repulsed by this whole thing. You and I here are just as qualified to figure out autism as RFK and Trump are. Yet they have this, you know, the bully pulpit from the Washington, you know, from the White House to say this kind of crap that is not backed by any medical science. I am all for science going after science, like it's peer reviewed and let's do studies and research. But, you know, yeah, I'm the son of a doctor, so I have a little more faith than the average person, but autism has been studied for decades. The best minds on planet Earth have been trying to figure it out. And the one thing they have realized is it cannot be any one single factor. And it may not even be a factor anyone can control. Why is autism rates up? Maybe because we're testing for it more. Like, no one freaking knows. So it is insanely irresponsible to come out and make this wild assertion that you know why. And by the way, if you're going to go and make this assertion, maybe read your notes ahead of time. Learn how to pronounce acetaminophen so you don't have to go out, C-da-da. Oh, what's this word now?
dude, you know, for someone who blows chunks in their pants quite often, like, you know, he pooped his pants a little when he was up there. Right. And then just to call it Tylenol. You know, my wife's a lawyer, so I was like, if I was Tylenol, I would be suing the crap out of them because it's not Tylenol, even in their study. It's acetaminophen. So that's a brand. So I bet Tylenol is taking a huge hit from the dummies on the right who believe this crap, you know? Yes.
Few things there. Yes, first of all, Tylenol, the parent company, has lost a few billion in their publicly traded assets. So, yeah, this is a president that just went straight after an American company and has cost them billions of dollars. And I was just having that discussion with Kennedy this morning. Like, I take Excedrin a lot because I get migraines. Excedrin is acetaminophen. Now, Excedrin and Tylenol, maybe they put a few other little sprinkles or whatever they're doing in there, but it's all acetaminophen. Almost all pain relievers are. So I don't know why Trump has singled out Tylenol unless it's just because he can pronounce it. And the other problem is, I read an article this week saying what you just said. Why can't Tylenol sue Trump? I didn't realize this. Apparently, it is insanely difficult to sue the federal government. They are essentially immune from most lawsuits because of what they are, because otherwise they'd be bogged down with being lost, you know, being sued constantly. But apparently you can sue the government and force them to retract a statement. They're not going to pay penalties or anything else for it, but you could force them to retract it, which the Tylenol parent company could then, you know, publicize. But you can't sue Trump. Not to mention the Supreme Court gave him immunity. So even if you could sue him, he would say that was an official act I just did. So I got immunity.
Yep. You're 100% right. It can be done, but it is insanely hard, and it's set up to be that way. Otherwise, you know, I mean, it would open presidents up to a lot of liability as they're making statements about things that are happening, and we get more info and more info. But Trump just speaks so irresponsibly, like we've seen here. I know that most people that are probably tuning in to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve here on our YouTube page probably realize this is a bunch of malarkey. I did find a doctor that was talking about a study that they had done in Sweden. And the reason I bring this one up, because it was done with the largest test subject that we've ever seen. I sound like Trump now. Numbers we've never seen. Listen to this study, dude, and this makes a lot of sense to you. Hang with it, and I think this will resolve some questions in your brain.
Okay.
We were able to amass 2.5 million pregnancies in Sweden, which we could then compare for the risk of these outcomes. And what we do see in the beginning is a slightly increased risk. However, as soon as you start to account for the maternal health conditions, the reason the drug is used, and other familial factors, the risk disappears.
Right. I'm looking at those numbers right now. Autism, 0.09% higher. Other things, ADHD, 0.2% higher. A couple other things there. Is that enough for anyone to rationally say, look, see, there is a link?
Definitely not. And when we proceed to compare siblings, which is one of the main strengths of our study, so we compare where in one pregnancy the mother used the medication and another pregnancy she did not, and we're able to control for all of the underlying genetics and the household environment that remains stable, even these small signals disappear completely. So this is not something I would be concerned about.
You said 2.5 million people results. I just want to get you on the record to say that is not a small base to base your results on.
No, it is the world's largest study on this topic.
Yeah, most of the time you see people, you know, they'll do 100 people. They'll do 1,000 people, you know, 2.5 million. And to be able to study pregnant women and their siblings living in the same environment for all of those years, like this, a lot of work went into this. And to see it come back of 0.9 of 1%. Right. Yeah, 0.0, that's right. 0.09 of 1%. That's crazy, dude. This is nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Listen, I know there's definitely a connection between Tylenol and the Epstein files. I think that's what really is happening with this announcement. Anything to distract. We will even be medically insanely irresponsible and risk lives and make pregnancies harder for women that have fevers or pain. And the Tylenol's been recommended for freaking ever. It's insanity. And it's just something about the medical side of this just really irritates me, that there is science and research and you're ignoring all of it and letting the guy with the freaking brain worm that eats roadkill and swims with children in shit infested waters, you're letting him call the shots, all because he gave you a few extra votes in the election. Because when RFK dropped out, Trump felt he owed him a favor. So let's just let him go MAHA everywhere and just, you know, it's just garbage science. Because this is something, if you had real science, you would present it and look like a genius.
100%, dude. And that's what they said they were going to do. But we saw this this junk science with COVID. Why would we expect anything different here? They're talking about all of the, what are the shots we take called?
Vaccines.
They're talking about all the vaccines, dude. And, you know, even you have Trump saying, like, I don't know if I'd get rid of everything that Bobby's talking about here. Like, some of those are kind of important. When you have Trump trying to reason things down for Kennedy, like, you've got issues, dude. This guy has no business being in the position he's in, and it's dangerous.
And I love that he goes from, like, you know, we don't recommend it in certain cities. Don't take Tylenol. Tylenol's bad. Don't take Tylenol. Even freaking Dr. Oz had to come out the next day and be like, that's not actually what we were saying. We were saying maybe consult your doctor. Maybe there's scenarios where you shouldn't. Like, Trump, just Tylenol bad. Don't take Tylenol.
Oh, just insane. God. And you know he's taking Tylenol, dude. He's got for those swollen cankles, you know.
Right. And that's the other thing we're trying to distract from. Like, he projects so much, you know. Mm. He's got medical issues, so I'm going to come up with some baloney medical thing. Let's make everyone think about Tylenol. Tylenol's giving me cankles. Like, yes.
Oh, it's just insane. Yeah.
It really is. Somebody just circling back to our mega dentist thing. I love this comment right here. This is good. They said that dentist doesn't make much money off her mega patients. They only have 5 teeth each.
Right. Yes. That's true. It's very true. We've got different places we can go here, Steve. I've got some more videos we can play. What we want to talk about. Did you hear anything great happening in Portland, Oregon?
No.
Let me enlighten you just a little bit. As we see this administration going after Democrat cities, bringing in the National Guard, we wonder who's next. Was it Chicago? Oh, now it's not Chicago. Will it be Memphis? We don't know. But Portland is definitely on their radar. And let's hear why. I've got this video split into two parts, and we'll start out with J.D. Vance.
JD stands for just dumb.
So I believe it was in Oregon where you had a federal building where there were men in black ski masks who were committing acts of violence, who were shutting down a government building. To the president's point, they don't come from nowhere. These are paid people. This is organized. They're committing acts of political terrorism on American soil. And it's time we had a government that looked out for the American people rather than the people who are committing violence against the American people.
When I first heard him talking, I tuned in and I just caught in right there. I thought he was talking about ICE, dude. I thought he was talking about ICE agents.
Running out of causing problems. Yeah. And ICE are paid, unlike the protesters or the Antifas out there. Okay. I've been to many protests. Yeah. Nobody's yet to write me a check. I just don't know where this garbage comes from. Do they just, I think they're trying to make it a RICO thing. Like, if we can improve money's being spent, then, you know, yes, we can somehow connect dots. But, or do they just try to rationalize, like, people couldn't be protesting me. I'm amazing. They must be being paid to protest me. There's no way people could just be offended by everything I'm doing.
I think that's right, Steve. I think that's exactly right. Sad. This next clip is Trumpy Dumpy talking about Portland. And I don't know if he's ever been to Portland. No. Based off the things he says in this clip, I live in Seattle, so I make trips down to Portland pretty frequently, you know, once every couple of months. And Portland is not like anything that he's about to tell you it's like.
Shocking. When you go out to Portland and you see what's happening in Portland, this is like nobody's ever seen anything like it. Every night, and this has gone on for years, they just burned the place down. And, you know, the shop owners, most of them have left. But the few shops that are open, they just use plywood and just like 3/4-inch plywood. They don't put storefronts in because they know it's going to be burned down. These are professional agitators.
Right.
These are bad people. And they're paid a lot of money by rich people, some of whom we know. I'm sure I know some. These are crazy people. And they're trying to burn down buildings, including federal buildings. And on my list of things that I want to do before we finish up with the cities, because I think we're going to whip the cities back into shape. But we have to. We cannot let our cities. And that's a small example, but it's the most violent example. It's every night, and they've done it for years. You think maybe at some point they made their point, and what are they doing? But we're going to get out there, and we're going to do a pretty big number of those people in Portland that are doing that. They're professional agitators and anarchists. They're actually anarchists. Yeah. Go ahead. Why don't you defend? Let's see you defend them, Jeff.
No, I'm not defending anyone. I just want so that we can just explain this in our stories.
Go ahead. Let's go. Maybe let's give you another chance. Go ahead.
Antifa, Soros. What names are we talking about?
Well, Soros is a name certainly that I keep hearing. I don't know, but Soros is a name that I hear. I hear a lot of different names. I hear names of some pretty rich people that are radical left people.
A lot of names.
Maybe I hear about a guy named Reid Hoffman.
Maybe I don't. It's a riddle. Dude, let me tell you something. The fact that he said, like, the three stores that are left in Portland, you know, just have boards on their windows because they know they'll be burned. Portland is a beautiful city, dude. A city that I enjoy very much, and it is a thriving city. It is very liberal.
Burned down every night.
Every night.
Yeah. Why would Antifa, why would George Soros be paying people to burn down a liberal city? You know, like,
yeah, it makes zero sense.
Right. I mean, what is that even? Where's the logic? If we were burning down some conservative city every night, at least I would be able to connect, you know, some logic there. But totally. So, yes, George Soros, Bill Gates, they're paying a radical left to burn down one of their own cities every night. This is just night after night. After
For
night.
Years, every night, dude, it hasn't stopped.
And the funny thing is, the Fox News watchers out there, they think this is all true. I've been hearing about San Francisco for years. I go to San Francisco at least once a year. Sure, like every city, there's some homeless parts or like, but it's a beautiful, fun, progressive, amazing city. San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, like it's so yes. Now Portland is a burning hellhole night after night, and Fox News will suck it up because they're never going.
They do, dude. They do suck it up. I mean, every time my brother comes to visit me in Seattle, you know, he always tells me like, oh, you know, what's happening in Portland is so dangerous now. You can't even go down there. I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, yes, it is. I'm like, listen to somebody who goes down there often. I know I don't live there, but I visit frequently. So why don't you listen to me? Well, they say it's burning down nightly, Nick.
Yes, they say. Of course, they say. It's just like somebody asked Cash Patel, Keystone Cash, and Pam Bondi the other day, like, what liberal groups are you talking about that are terrorist organizations that you're going to go after? And they couldn't name one because there isn't one. And Antifa is not a group. It's an ideology. And obviously no one's going to call themselves that. So, I mean, it's just boogeyman. Yeah. It's just fear-mongering. That's all it is.
Yeah. Grace says, that's why we're going to shut down Fox Noise. Yeah, I'd love to know how we're going to do that. I'll join it.
President Newsom, he already said he's going after Fox News. I'll order my FCC to cancel Fox News. Low ratings, gut fill, has to go.
That's so funny, dude.
I can't read those Newsom tweets without doing the Trump voice. I don't know if that's the point or not, but I hear Trump every time I read one of those Newsom tweets.
We're talking about Gutfeld, dude. I've got a great video that I know we're running low on time here, but this is such a, do you think Gutfeld's got any talent as far as a comedic talent?
Comedic? No. Brainwashing propagandist. He's apparently very good at that, but no, he's not funny. Please.
Let me tell you that the people
funny in a sad way.
Yes, of course. That's the right way to think it's funny. The people on the right think that Gutfeld is the new Dave Chappelle. They think he's hilarious. Let me play this clip for you. This is off the Gutfeld show, and it'll bring you some great news all at the same time. See if you can suffer through this bad boy.
We watch Fox so you don't have to.
We don't deserve him.
That's so funny. He said he was going to do it. Trump unveiled the new presidential walk of fame on the West Wing colonnade at the White House. Or roll of fame if you're FDR.
Too soon?
And every president's portrait hangs proudly along the walkway. Every president, except for one. Trump's a man of his word. No Joe Biden, just his infamous auto pen that was used to sign all those pardons and official documents. That means no love for Joe in the presidential walk of fame, since he was neither presidential nor able to walk. We couldn't get a comment from the auto pen. It was meeting with a squid to get its ink reloaded. So what's Biden got to say about this?
No. Look. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, funny guy. Is this Thinks he's funny. Big jokes. Not a joke.
Dude, wow. I mean, it doesn't even look like Biden. Like, is that the worst crap you've ever seen?
Yes. I mean, wow. That's right-wing comedy, huh? I can see why they are not a laughable group. That whole thing right there, the little walk of fame, I mean, how juvenile, how immature and stupid. And I just pray that whenever whoever the next Dem is, President Newsom or whatever, I don't know, put his mugshot, Trump's mugshot, up on that wall instead, or put him and Epstein arm in arm instead, or put the picture he drew. Like, this is so juvenile and stupidly immature that I want to be shocked by it, but I guess on some level I'm not. But no one thought to tell him that maybe we should take just even the slightest high road here. You're going to hang some freaking internet meme joke on the wall of the White House. It's
the public, you know, he talks about like, oh, what an embarrassment that we have to go in a tent. So I'm building a ballroom because, you know, all these world leaders come through here. They see that shit, too. Like, you don't find that embarrassing? That's a joke that you send to your buddy on Facebook or something at best, right?
It's insane. I would be so freaking embarrassed if Obama or Biden did something like that. But now they are begging the next Democrat to do it. But again, Dems won't actually do that because we're just not that immature. So, I mean, I guess I am impressed Obama was still up there. But the Biden thing is just insanity. And this ballroom thing, just real quick, have you seen the new pictures of what the rendering is?
Yes. Jeez.
It's like twice the size of the actual White House.
Yes.
It is freaking disgusting. And I don't understand how he's able to do all this, all the renovations he's done, and this bullshit that someone else is paying for it. Like, I'm still waiting for Mexico to pay for a wall. So.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's the White House will look nothing like it looks now. You know, from tearing the Rose Garden out to everything, I mean, he's just really defaced everything that this country has stood for, symbolically with the White House, and he's doing it, you know, to the country right now. We see everything falling around us, so.
I hope President Newsom puts Trump's mugshot up on that wall, and I hope he turns this ballroom into some sort of, I don't know, like gay history museum or something, or a slavery, you know, shrine, a memorial, like all of this stuff that Trump wants to pretend doesn't exist. Gay people, transgender people, slavery wasn't that bad. Like, I hope we make it some homage to just left-wing policies.
Yes. Frank, you're right. This is going to be a rough 3 years. Goddamn. Can you believe that I can't even think that we haven't even made a year yet.
No, but remember, the midterms are officially just about a year away, and that is our chance to put some sort of speed bumps on this highway to hell that we're on. So don't be complacent. Keep spreading all this around. Keep hyping everyone up online, your friends, your family. Don't be embarrassed. I am sick of Dems just being like, I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to talk politics. No, put it in everyone's face because we all got to show up. And yeah, vote blue no matter who because it really doesn't matter. I'll vote for Grover over anyone in Trump world.
Yep, 100%. We got to stay diligent. And thanks for doing part of your part by being here. Don't forget about the No Kings protest on the 18th of October. We all got to show up for that. And we appreciate you listening to the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Good day.
Good day, sir.